This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
And this is Monster, my podcast.
And this is the conclusion of The Secret of the Ooze.
There's a monster in my podcast.
And we're ending big.
Yeah. Gelatinous Cube devours village. I think that's terrific.
Yeah. It's just, Xanthar or
whatever. The beauty part is.
Yeah. Gelatinous Cubes are classic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's mostly classic based on the name.
I think so, too.
It's a really good dorky name.
It really
is. It's very on the nose. Like, it is very descriptive in a way that no other D&D monsters, you know, name is.
And you can kind of picture, like, the moment of its conception. You know, again, like in the 70s or so, Gary Gygax is sitting there and you're like, oh, just somebody close to him, like, brought a Jell-O mold to a picnic. And he's like, Eureka.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The picture of this is one of my favorite pictures, too, because it does not look threatening.
No.
It looks like a 70s novelty ice cube.
It certainly does. Like, just take that shield out and replace it with a fake fly.
Yeah. Yeah. Or fake fly, or even just like little bits of like, hey, put flowers in your ice cubes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm Martha Stewart. Or put fruit in your ice cubes. So when they melt, they taste like wet fruit. You know, things like that.
Yeah. Or those reusable ice cubes that were like the plastic shells that were really gross. Got moldy.
Yeah. I had like tons. I really liked those when I was young.
Uh-huh.
Like, I thought it was just like, looked, made drinks look really good and really, you know, mm-hmm. really fun. And then like, as I got older, I realized how gross they could be.
Yeah.
You know,
let's use a whiskey stone.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was six. So,
you know, like, you moron, you goddamn idiot. Yeah.
Like, I don't think I learned about whiskey stones until like, I was like 30. So I had some years ahead of me.
A couple of stoneless years. Yeah. The way they articulate, though, you mean, like, I think the thing that I keep on forgetting is that they are transparent, and that's supposed to be the problem.
Yeah. So it's just floating bits of equipment.
Right. Yeah.
Gelatinous Cube, star of one of my all time, like, most formative D&D memories.
Okay.
Was playing, it wasn't called Unlimited Adventures, but it was one of those like D&D starter sets that was like half board game, half game.
Right.
It's one that has a CD included in it. And during every like beginning of every encounter, you'd have this like, you know, a little mood music, some sounds of some drips. Oh, like, yeah. I don't think we should go that far. Huh, thief, you lack the courage. You know, in this little like kind of shitty adventurer banter.
Uh-huh.
At the end of one, they're just like, oh, what's that? Floating in the air, a gelatinous cube. And it's a really great like line. But then my friend who was running it, because we were all shitty at D&D and because it was second edition, it was too hard. He's like, and then the gelatinous cube sprouts arms and started selling us items from inside it.
Oh,
like,
man.
He made it like a good guy.
Yeah.
Like this weird, like, you know, it works for me. Like, I want to get this out of me and you want it. So if you feed me some food, you know, which I can digest.
Right.
You can have the sword and like, you know, it was the first time we'd played a game where somebody like, I mean, it wasn't like, it was pretty goofy, you know, it was definitely broke the tone, but like improvised in a way that was player forward.
Right.
And like kind of a good.
Oh my gosh. Tell me his name was Gelatinous Cuba Gooding Jr.
Oh, we still have to talk about that slime guy. Cause that's a good ending. Gelatinous Cuba Jr. is very funny.
Oh, like, thank you.
I can't think of anything that Cuba Gooding Jr. has ever said, so I'm trying to pick up a line, but just, like, he bugs him a lot.
Gary, you gotta be fucking with me, right?
Oh no, he's the show me the money
guy. Yeah.
Okay.
That would have been amazing.
I totally remember Tom Cruise saying that.
Okay. It would have been amazing if you just played that straight.
He's got, but I mean, can you name two things he said? I'm the dentist from Snow Dogs. Like, it's not really like anything else. Like,
I sure got more than I bargained for on this boat trip.
Yeah. He said, I sure hope nothing happens to Pearl Harbor.
So that with that boat trip reference, this is I think the second time in a month that we have referenced something adjacent to Horatio Sands.
Yeah, well, that's fine with me. Okay. Let's talk about the Slytherin Tracker a little bit. Let's do our type two on Slytherin Tracker, because he's not that bad.
He's also a little too late,
I think.
Yeah, definitely. We skipped over the green slime, which is literally just, oh, it's a slime. They're enemies of that, but the slithering tracker is nominally intelligent. Like, yeah. what does it hear? Like, average intelligence. So, like, about as intelligent as, like, a villager, right?
Yeah, as intelligent as Sean. Like, I don't know, I'm not thinking of specific Sean. Fill in your own Sean's.
Yes.
For that.
Yeah.
And their whole thing is, like, they can't really fight. They can't really fight each other. They just find a territory and then, like, kind of piggyback onto bigger, stronger, better monsters.
Right.
To either, like, sloppy seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. You know? That's what they do. Like, that's literally what they do, though.
Yeah, and like all these slimes, like they've got paragraphs about how they're scavengers and just kind of like barely seconds. Tolerated. Yeah,
yeah. They have this whole like contradictory statement in this book where it's like, a bigger monster will not will kill an enemy, but still have and eat part of it and still have some remains, and then the slithering tracker will come. Sometimes the enemy, the food was not even dead. It was just unconscious until the slithering tracker gets there. And it's like, oh, is the idea that the ogre like ate part of this thing and now it's unconscious? Like it didn't eat usually, you know, if a monster's killing, eating something, they usually kill it.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, death is a process.
I guess that's true. Like he's talking about like the biomes and fucking like flora in their gut or something. And then the other thing is they desiccate.
Yes.
That's their primary verb, which I appreciate. They take the plasma out of your body.
Yeah, they eat all of the plasma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in Faerun, like you can donate plasma through one of these things.
Yep. They don't have a bloodmobile. They just got like a wagon that has one of these in it. You just like sit in it like you're taking a wheelbarrow ride.
Yeah. Yeah. they just go around the block and then you come out a little like lighthead and they give you a cookie and an orange slice.
Yep.
And send you on your way.
Yeah.
That's how you put yourself through wizarding school.
Brought to you by our backers at patreon.com/duckfeedtv.